This is the Employment Law Show.
That is correct. It is 6:32. Welcome to a Thursday night edition. Good to have you along for the next half hour. John Scholes here, Lior Samfiru joining as well. And the main topic tonight, workplace harassment. Let's talk about the employee rights. If harassment happens in the workplace, not an uncommon thing, a lot more common actually than you probably think in this day and age, but bring on your questions. They're all good questions. We all learn a lot from what you want to know, so feel free to do that. Beyond the half hour of the show every week here on air, you can always reach Lior and the team by phone, 1-855-821-5900, or email if you prefer, or both, help@employmentlawyer.ca. And the website that was built, constructed just for you to make you smarter about your workplace rights, be smarter than the guy next to you. You could teach some people, actually, if you spend enough time on this website called pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. And with that as well, baked into it, as they say, is the severance calculator. Does exactly what you think it does. It calculates the correct amount of severance, the correct amount. So use that even if you're not getting let go, just to see what you would be owed if it ever came down the pike that it happened. All that's coming up here. So let's get into it. Case of the day. Lior, what do you got going on, pal?
John, are you going to be shocked if I told you that I want to be talking employment law today?
Shocked, absolutely.
Shocked, amazed. Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I have going on, believe it or not. Lots and lots of employment law issues. I spend most of the day today answering emails, taking phone calls, making sure that people have answers to their pressing workplace questions. And we want to continue doing that over the 30 minutes of this show. I'm ready to answer whatever question you have about employment law, whether it's your job security, your severance package, your being mistreated, your constructive dismissal, your harassment, discrimination, you name it. We can talk about it. You can get answers, and you can finally know what the law actually says and does for you. So this is really the point of the show, and I've been doing this all day. I'll continue doing this even after the show. But in between, I want to take calls right here, right now. So don't be bashful. And of course, beyond just these 30 minutes, as I said, I'm going to continue doing what I do. So you can reach me in the office. You can phone. You can email. You can have my office call you. We'll give you all the contact information throughout the show. But case of the day. And John, I've said to you before that oftentimes when people call my office, they call my office with the question, or they are asking for help, without actually realizing that there's a much bigger issue that they should be concerned about. So today I had a really good example of that. I spoke with a gentleman that's worked for the last 4.5 years or so at a construction company. I think he was an estimator. So he was recently let go because the company was cutting costs. And the reason he called me is he said that he had some tools at the company, some of his own personal tools that he was trying to get back, and the company wasn't cooperative. So he called me to say, well, what do I do about these tools? So I said to him, okay, let's talk about the tools, but let's just put that aside for a second. Mm-hmm. You said you worked there for 4 years. Did they pay you any severance? He said, no severance. And I said, okay. Well, I found that from him. He was 52 years of age. And guess what, John? He was owed right around 6 to 8 months of severance. Yeah. He had no clue. He had assumed, like many others, that in the construction field, in the construction area, you don't get severance if you're let go. Of course, that's wrong. That's false. You get exactly the same severance calculated in the same way as every other job. So he called me about probably $500 or so worth of tools, not diminishing that, of course. But he is probably owed about $40,000 in severance. So that's really a common situation. People often call me about records of employment. They may call me because they think that they're owed overtime, etc. All of which are legitimate and all of which we help people with. But oftentimes there's a much bigger looming issue. And that's often the case if you lose your job. So yes, I'm going to help him get his tools, but more importantly, I'm going to get him his severance. And this employer may be surprised to learn that, yes, it has severance obligations towards its employees. So bottom line is here, the lesson, first of all, construction, that's always the lesson. If you're in construction, yeah, if you lose your job, you are owed severance. But beyond that, let's not forget about that severance component. If we lose our job, usually it's the biggest issue when it comes to losing your job. The other issues, as important as they are, often are secondary, not as big, certainly from a financial standpoint. So I was really happy to have been able to ask him the right question and to find out that he has some significant entitlements.
Yeah, it's amazing. All these years doing the show, it's still amazing where where the genesis of this whole I work in construction, I don't get severance thing. I still don't know where it comes from, why they all think that.
Well, your minimum entitlements may be different if you're working in construction. So, you know, that could come from there. But ultimately, your full entitlements, your full severance entitlements are existing. They're the same as every other employee. So, you know, it's what I always say. Don't try to research these things and get a little morsel here, a little morsel there, and you combine the two, you get the wrong answer. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we have the right discussion, get the right answers, and it starts often by just calling us right here on the show.
And let's do that as we get into a break into the topic of workplace harassment in between your phone calls, but we got the open lines and we're ready to go, so jump on it. And we'll see you on the other side of the short break with more of the Thursday night edition of the Employment Law Show. Stand by.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
Okay, Leo, let's get into workplace harassment. We're going to talk about employee rights if harassment happens in your workplace. First, some people don't know the exact definition, or even they kind of fly around it. But what is considered to be harassment?
So let's first start by saying that workplace harassment is a very broad term, and it includes quite a few types of conduct. Generally speaking, any conduct that would be objectively viewed as being unwelcomed is considered, or can be considered, harassment. So if you're subject to conduct that, you know, if we ask the person on the street, is this conduct appropriate, is this conduct welcomed or unwelcome, if they said, no, that's not okay, then that's harassment. So that may encompass things such as simple as, you know, name calling, putting someone down. It could be a situation where you're being excluded from meetings, excluding from conversations. It could be a situation where you're being berated, yelled at. So any of those things can absolutely be considered workplace harassment. So if you're subject to conduct that is making you feel bad, and this is the type of conduct that if someone else looked at it and said, yeah, that's wrong, I would feel bad too, that type of conduct can absolutely be considered workplace harassment.
It's interesting, though. You know, everyone thinks the obvious one, sexual harassment, or the last one you mentioned, getting yelled at, being berated by your boss. But before that, you mentioned, you know, being, you know, not included on meetings and things around the office. That's very passive, but it is still a form and a damaging type of harassment, isn't it?
Well, certainly. If you ask someone that's been marginalized in the workplace, where they're being excluded, they're not being considered, people are meeting and they're not part of it, they're kind of pushed off to the side, that could be extremely difficult to accept. That could be very demoralizing. Yeah. Many people would suffer greatly in that situation. And that type of conduct, if it's deliberate, can easily and absolutely be workplace harassment. I've seen many cases like that. And that certainly is something that's not acceptable in the workplace.
Should an employee talk to their boss if they're being harassed?
So, yes. So, first of all, if you're being mistreated, harassed, bullied, I'm using all those terms interchangeably, mm-hmm. You should tell your employer. Your employer, because your employer has a legal obligation to deal with that, as we'll explain in a second, they have to become aware of it. If your employer doesn't know that you're being harassed or you're being mistreated, then they can't really do something about it. So, yes, you absolutely can and should, and I would say must, tell your boss, tell your employer, whoever the right person is in the workplace, maybe it's the HR manager, about the harassment, and put the onus on the employer to deal with it, to fix it, to create a healthy and a positive work environment. So I know sometimes it may seem difficult. I don't want to tell someone. I'm afraid that maybe bad things will happen if I do. But you absolutely can. You should tell your employer. And when I say tell them, I say put that in writing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want later on your employer to say, oh, no, you never told me. I didn't know. Well, if you send an email, you can have a meeting in person. That's absolutely fine. But follow up with something in writing. By doing that, you're not only protecting yourself, you're imposing that obligation to deal with it on your employer.
I think a lot of people, or at least, pardon me, some people listening may be thinking, yeah, but I don't want to rattle the boss's cage. What if they get upset, or what if I get fired for making a complaint?
And that is very often a question that I get. You know, can this be held against me? Can I be punished if I complain about workplace harassment? So let's be very clear. The answer is absolutely not. You cannot be mistreated, disciplined, fired, anything like that for complaining about harassment. You have the protection of the law, which says nothing can ever happen to you. Even if it's determined that harassment can't be proven, still nothing can ever happen to you. It would be a, what we call a reprisal if your employer tried to do something to you because you complained about harassment. That could be a violation of several statutes. It's very illegal, and an employer that does that would suffer severe consequences. So no, you should always feel confident to advocate for yourself, to tell your employer about harassment, knowing that you cannot be punished for doing it.
And again, as we work through this list and dealing with harassment as a topic this evening, I always ask you this one too, following up, you know, talk to the boss, it needs to be out there. What happens if you can't talk to the boss, i.e. it's the boss doing the harassing?
Right. And that's often the next question that I get. So someone says, Leo, yeah, thank you. I understand you want me to talk to the boss, the owner, et cetera, but it's the owner. It's the top person in the company that's actually harassing me. There's really no one above them. So who do I complain to? And you're absolutely right. Obviously, if it's the top person that's mistreating you, there's really no one to go to, and to tell your employer is not going to be productive. So at that point, because you can't deal with it internally, we have to deal with it externally. Right. So what that means is that's when I get involved. But for me to get involved, for any lawyer to get involved, there would have to be a way to prove that harassment. Remember, and I say this often, if you're being harassed by the owner of the company, that owner of the company, if I call them on it, is not going to say, yes, okay, my bad, I'm sorry I did it. No, they're going to deny it, right? They're going to say, never happened, and don't know what you're talking about. So the question then becomes, you're saying yes, the boss is saying no. How do we prove what the boss actually did? So it's not that hard. It could be as simple as if something happens in the workplace that's considered harassment, send an email to someone, even to the boss, confirming what just happened. Write it down somewhere. If you're going to a meeting and you know something bad's going to happen in the meeting, have your phone on record in your pocket. That's fine too. So let's have something or a way to prove that harassment. Maybe there's another coworker that's willing to corroborate what they know and what they saw. That's great too. But as long as there's that corroboration, we can deal with it externally, and I can then potentially get you out of there, get you compensation, and deal with it that way. So if you can deal with it internally, if there's a process that makes sense to deal internally through HR, through complaining about harassment, do it. Absolutely. Your employer has to deal with it. But if you cannot do that, that's when you call me. We deal with it externally.
And just as an aside, that number, 1-855-821-5900 to reach Leor and the team, and help at employmentlawyer.ca. So the scenario goes like this, Leor. You filed a harassment complaint. Pretty sure it's going to be pretty rock solid. Decision comes down, and it turns out you were not actually harassed. Doesn't qualify. You might be scared that you filed in the first place. But what happens then?
So when you file a harassment complaint, the first thing your employer has to do is take it seriously. They absolutely have to take it seriously and then conduct an investigation to investigate what happened. Now, in some situations, it's appropriate for the company or for someone from the company itself to investigate. In other situations, that's not appropriate. They have to bring in an outsider to investigate, someone that has more knowledge about these things to investigate. But there has to be an investigation. Once that investigation is done, then based on the conclusions of the investigation, the company has to rectify the situation, fix it, do whatever it needs to do to make sure that you are not being harassed anymore. Now, to your question, John, well, what happens if at the conclusion of this investigation,
right,
it's determined that we can't really corroborate this harassment? Well, if the company conducted a shoddy investigation and their conclusions are nonsense, well, that could be a constructive dismissal. That could potentially, depending on the situation, be a human rights violation, etc. If they conducted a reasonable investigation, there's just not enough proof, then unfortunately harassment hasn't been established. The company may simply reinforce to everyone that they should treat others with respect, but you still can't be punished. You still can't be disciplined. Nothing bad can ever happen to you, even if the conclusion is that there's no harassment. So really, the bottom line is there's really nothing to lose by doing this. Chances are that the company will find that there was harassment. They will deal with it. And even if they don't, you're not going to be worse off for filing that harassment complaint.
No, obviously you're not going to storm in the office and take care of all this on your own. You're going to file a complaint, and follow the appropriate channels. But legal recourse follow, what does the employee have if there's a workplace harassment from a legal standpoint?
So if you can establish that harassment, that could be a constructive dismissal. In other words, you may be able to treat this work environment as a termination of your employment because your employer didn't protect you, didn't create a positive, healthy work environment. You may be able to say, that's it, I'm leaving. But even though I'm leaving, that's going to be a termination. I'm going to get my full severance. I'm also going to get my EI, etc. So constructive dismissal is one remedy. In other situations, it could also be a human rights violation, which means that there'd be compensation damages under human rights legislation. So those are the main options from a legal standpoint that exist to you if you are being harassed. And if you think about it, if you are in a poison work environment, maybe getting out of there is the best thing, except, as I said, you'll be getting out of there with compensation. So if you're in that situation, harassed, mistreated, let's talk about it.
And let's talk about what's going on with Sam. We'll take a quick call here. Hey, Sam, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good. What I'm curious is, if you're over the age of 65, do they have to let you go? Or if they want to continue, what age do you stop working? If you
That's
want
a great
to continue
question.
Working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great question, Sam. So many years ago, gosh, I think it's going on almost 20 years now, we got rid of mandatory retirement in Ontario. That means that there's no age. There's no retirement age. You can work until you decide not to work anymore, whether that's 65, 75, or any other age. And your employer is not allowed to let you go because of your age. They're not even allowed to factor your age in the decision to let you go. So, for example, if they have three reasons to let you go, even if one of them is your age, that's a human rights violation. That's illegal. So if your employer does anything to you because of your age, we know you get severance because you always get severance, but this will be completely illegal. So it's up to you how long you work. Your employer cannot do anything or even say anything about it.
Great to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate the call. Any other concerns, of course, you can call or email Lior, help at employmentlawyer.ca and 1-855-821-5900. You know, it's like we said the other night, how many times you walk into a clinic or a doctor's office and see at least one doctor lurking around, you know, with the white coat who's pushing 80. They just don't want to quit. They keep working. So to your point, you can work till you drop, right? Tony, welcome to the show. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I have a question about my job here. I'm a truck driver. I'm looking to moving to another location, like my address. Like I'm moving my house to another address, like about 2 hours away from the GTA. Now, at that location where I'm moving, the company, they have a terminal up there. I'm asking for a transfer. Only problem is the hours that they are telling me I might not get the same hours as the one that I'm working, currently working over here. Are they allowed to do that? Give me less hours.
So, Tony, your employer is not required to allow you to transfer at all. So they can say, no, you work here in the GTA. If you're moving, that's up to you. It's you have to get to work. So if they're willing to allow you to transfer, it's up to them on what basis. They can say, if you want to transfer, you can go there. But here you're only going to work 4 hours a week. So because they're not required to allow the transfer, if they allow it, they can decide on what basis you can transfer. So there's not much that can be done if it's you that's initiating the move. Now, if they were forcing you to move to another place, that's very different. But if you're initiating the move and asking them for a transfer, they're not actually required to provide it at all.
Okay. No, the movement part is coming from me, not from them.
Yes, I understand. Yes. Yeah. So you want to work closer to home, of course, with a new location, but they're not required to allow that. They can simply say, no, you have to stay where you are. And if you can't get to work anymore, then I guess you can leave. You can quit. So unfortunately, because they're not required to allow you to transfer, there's nothing that you can do if the transfer means less hours.
Okay. No problem.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that, pal. Yeah, it's, you know, it's maybe the workplace and you know they're his boss or bosses are cool. They'll say, yeah, maybe we can you know, we can make things work for you. I think he said an hour or two away from where he is now. That's a long commute. That might be bad, especially if he's already bought the house.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, a company, you know, where the law kind of comes in is a situation where a company says, we want to transfer you an hour away. Well, wait a second. They can't necessarily do that. That could be a constructive dismissal. But if it's the employee that's saying, hey, I want to transfer from location A to location B just because it's, you know, it's better for me, your employer is not actually required to do that. They can say, no, we're not going to do that. Or they can say, we'll only do this on these conditions. So in that situation, because it's up to the company, there's really not much that the employee can do.
You know, if the company, we're talking about workplace harassment, if an employee, you know, become aware of possible workplace harassment, maybe it's not to you personally, maybe it's just, you know, it's in the wind and you have to be a whistleblower, or what's the correct move there?
So it's certainly not something that, I mean, you cannot and should not ever be punished if you observe someone else being mistreated and you tell your employer about that. You still, the same protections apply to you as well. There's no obligation to report it to the employer. I do think that a responsible employee, a good employee, is going to tell their employer if they become aware of anything. Yeah. And the interesting thing is this: if you tell your employer that I know that someone else is being mistreated, even in that situation, the company is legally required to investigate. Even if it's not the actual employee that's complaining, it's someone else, a coworker. Once the company becomes aware that this is an issue or a potential issue, they have to investigate. So, yeah, if you want to help your fellow coworkers in that situation, I think it's a very good idea.
Finally, before we leave, company determines that there is an employee guilty of harassment. Does that mean they can fire the employee for cause? Out you go.
Well, not necessarily, because keep in mind, there's different levels of harassment. You know, one type of harassment could be someone saying a bad word. Another type of harassment can be someone has been for years mistreating, putting down, berating someone. Those are very different things, right? So the company may well be able to discipline the employee, but discipline does not mean firing for cause. Remember, you can only fire someone for cause if that person is guilty of very significant misconduct. And by the way, I've often had been contacted by people where there was a harassment complaint filed against them, and they were quote-unquote guilty, but they were still fired for cause before the company should have done that. So the law still protects employees even in that situation. The company can impose new policies. It can discipline someone. They can transfer people so they don't work together. But that does not mean that just because there's harassment, someone can automatically be fired for cause.
And that is all we got time for tonight. Always an education, man. Appreciate that. If you want to reach out now to Lior and follow up on this topic or anything else that you need to discuss in private, you can. 1-855-821-5900. help@employmentlawyer.ca. That's the email address. And I'll give you that website one more time, too. It's invaluable, free, it's anonymous. You'll have access to that severance calculator. That is called pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. We'll catch you next time right here on the Employment Law Show. Enjoy the rest of your night.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.